This is Lewis Rogers, founder and CEO of Capital Square Realty Advisors. Welcome to the Real Estate Show, sponsored by Capital Square. Capital Square sponsors tax-advantaged real estate investments. First, Section 1031 exchange programs for tax deferral. Capital Square uses the Delaware Statutory Trust, or DST structure, for Section 1031 tax-deferred exchanges. We've discussed in prior shows that the IRS and Treasury have approved the DST structure for 1031 exchanges. Second, Opportunity Zone funds for tax deferral and exclusion. By investing in a qualified Opportunity Zone fund, investors are able to defer and permanently exclude capital gains from any asset, whether it's stock, businesses, bonds, you name it, even real estate. And finally, a real estate investment trust, a REIT, to acquire apartment communities in the southeast of Texas for stable income and growth. The REIT's first property is in Midlothian, not far from Capital Square's headquarters in Richmond. REITs are an excellent vehicle for regular folks to invest in real estate, and the icing on the cake, REIT dividends are tax favored. Capital Square is the investment manager of over 138 properties nationwide. That equates to well over $3 billion of real estate. This is Lewis Rogers, and you've joined the Real Estate Show. I'm pleased to welcome Jay Olander to the Real Estate Show. Jay has been a friend and a colleague for several decades. Jay is a multifamily guru. And nearly 20 years ago, Jay, do you remember? We worked together acquiring apartments for 1031 exchangers.
Yes.
And then for the apartment REIT. Those were the days. Yep. Today, Jay serves as an independent director on the board of Capital Square Apartment REIT, a real estate investment trust sponsored by Capital Square Realty Advisors. Capital Square is bullish on multifamily investments for the 1031 exchange DST program we've discussed in past shows, and also for Capital Square's apartment REIT. Capital Square is building apartment communities in qualified opportunity zones, six OZ funds, building Class A apartments in Richmond, Raleigh, and Charleston. By investing in an opportunity zone fund, investors are able to defer and exclude capital gains from any investment. This will take you back to the first couple of episodes of the Real Estate Show. You may recall that Section 1031 exchanges defer gains as well, but Section 1031 only applies to real estate. Opportunity zone investments can be used to defer and exclude capital gains from any investment, stocks, bonds, business sales, and even real estate. Jay, please tell us about your background in real estate and multifamily investing.
Great. Thanks, Lewis. I am the managing partner of Cornerstone Realty Advisors, a private family office investment firm. I've been in the multifamily business for about 30 years and have been involved in the ownership and management of approximately 75,000 multifamily units across the southern United States. I have also been involved in the formation and management several public companies and acted as an advisor to a multitude of private investors. The most recent large sale that I did was a company that I founded in 2006, Landmark Apartment Trust, where I served as a CEO and member of the board of directors. Landmark was a public real estate investment trust that owned approximately 24,000 apartments throughout the southern United States. We sold it in 2016 for about $1.9 billion. I've often told people that our business thesis has been very simple. We've invested in multifamily in markets where people are moving to. So while we've been based on the East Coast, we've actually owned more property in Texas than any other state, simply driven by the trajectory of many of those Texas markets. During my tenure in the industry, the multifamily business has evolved. From what I describe as a renter by necessity profile, those that were unable to purchase, to include a really large component of what I call renters by choice. Those that choose to rent, not to purchase a home, as a lifestyle choice.
75,000 units, huh? That's a lot of apartments.
It's been a good time.
Clearly, you're a national authority on multifamily investing. Let's talk about why you're bullish on multifamily investing.
You know, housing is a necessity. You can do without Starbucks coffee, but everyone needs a roof over their head. And that said, much of our population is changing how and where they live. And multifamily is really a vital part of the story, this changing demographic. As I mentioned, it's also an asset class that's evolving into a first choice for many.
That's a good point. Housing is a necessity versus spending that's discretionary, not a necessity.
Yeah, correct. A necessity, not an option, and a necessity that's, again, a first priority when writing checks for monthly obligations. The COVID pandemic really proved that point. Everybody needs a roof over their head, and also during COVID, they needed a place to work, and that home was their place to work.
It certainly did change our perspective on approximately 40 apartment communities in the Southeast and Texas that Capital Square sponsors. Rent collection and occupancy, both collection and occupancy, remain strong in spite of the pandemic.
So did you do better than 95%?
Much better. Since the pandemic hit, Capital Square has collected approximately 99% of rent due, 99%, and occupancy has remained very, very strong in the high 90s.
That's pretty impressive.
It's better than pro forma. Capital Square's multifamily investments have been stress tested. That's a way to think about it during a global pandemic and have proven to be extremely stable, highly resilient, and very profitable.
That's great. I think from a starting point, multifamily is the largest asset class in real estate, and it's a large part of the U.S. economy. Housing accounts for about 33% of consumer spending. As we're talking about 40 million renters, that's a whole lot of renters. Multifamily properties are everywhere. They make up a very large asset class for those looking to invest. But importantly, our multifamily market is ever evolving, and rental housing is offering, again, those viable alternatives for a population that's traditionally been home ownership centric.
Absolutely. The world is changing, and Capital Square hired economist Peter Linneman as our economic advisor, and he concluded two things that are earth-shattering. First is we're living in the golden age. He called it the golden age of multifamily investing, and that the multifamily sector historically has outperformed every other real estate sector in good and bad times, in inflationary times, in regular times, you name it. And the question for Jay is, why is this the golden age of multifamily investing?
So first, from an investment standpoint, multifamily is a stable, essential asset. Again, it's not a necessity. It's not discretionary. It's a necessity. It's not discretionary.
So you don't need to go to the mall. You don't need to go to Starbucks. You can do without them.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But I think more importantly, for many, I think multifamily has become a first choice for many seeking those roofs overhead. Again, by choice, not just renters by necessity. There's a whole generation of millennials that are interested in renting to maintain flexibility. Flexibility to travel, flexibility to enjoy time off instead of doing home ownership chores, flexibility to easily move for career opportunities. And while having amenities that single family living doesn't bring. You've got pools, you've got gyms. So if you've got a house, you don't have those things, you got to pay extra. So multifamily as we know it today offers a lifestyle that is much different than temporary housing for those waiting to purchase a home. For many, it is a viable long-term alternative to home ownership and a lifestyle choice.
Are you saying people could rent forever for life?
I really believe that there is a generation that are looking at that instead of home ownership.
It's not so bad. I just left a Capital Square apartment community, West Creek.
Yes.
And it has a heated saltwater pool. It has cabanas. It has boar grilling stations. It has dog wash, big dog and small dog washing stations, and dog runs, big and small. Very few people have those amenities in their home.
That's correct. And I think that's what people are looking for today. There's no reason to pay for those things when you can have them included in the rent.
And it's a good point. You mentioned the millennial generation. They're entering their prime renting age. And that's a very large age cohort with about 76 million millennials. And it's interesting. We had a famous demographer, Ken Gronbach, on the Real Estate Show. And he was discussing the impact of the various age cohorts. And Gronbach concluded that multifamily is the best place to invest based on the numbers, those 76 million millennials who are leaving home, getting jobs, and wanting a place to live on their own.
You know, and I think it's a great point, but I also think it's interesting to note that an increasing number of empty nesters are downsizing to rental housing. There's a very large population of baby boomers that have traditionally been homeowners that are now looking at how and where they want to live.
Another very good point, our economist, Dr. Linneman, noted that about 95 million aging baby boomers, 55 or older, have the option of renting. And we asked him, why do so many rent? And he said, well, it's unfortunate, but many boomers have not saved enough for retirement, and others want the flexibility of renting instead of owning a home.
I think that's right. And as I say, this is a generation that's looking at alternatives of how and where they live. And when I say that, how, as I mentioned before, the U.S. has kind of been a home ownership centric country. As this population of 95 million people is aging, they're really analyzing the basics of home ownership. Do I want to continue to maintain a home? How do I do day-to-day maintenance like cutting grass? Do I want to deal with weather-related issues like shoveling snow? Is this how I want to spend my retirement? And on the where side, for years, there's been a migration of people from north to south, better weather, less congestion, et cetera. So is it time to move to sunny Florida or Texas?
Absolutely. You're there now.
Yeah, to take advantage of those of that great weather in my golden years. But, you know, I think as they look at those how and where questions, multifamily offers the ability to test a new market without committing and take the time to get to know a city before making a long-term commitment. As they make this transition, they often find multifamily housing of today offers amenities in the rent that historically they've had to pay for, like we talked about a few minutes ago, pools, community centers, gyms. You know, it's a great place to have turnkey living right there on campus. And after experiencing that lifestyle, renting becomes a more viable long-term option. I think in addition to that, many jobs have moved to the Sun Belt. Job growth in the South has greatly outpaced many of the northern markets. So as kids have sought employment, many who have been raised in these northern markets are finding employment in the southern markets. As their parents retire, they're following their children, many times their grandchildren, to these new markets, and they find rental housing a viable alternative in a new city that they've never lived in.
Let's shift gears for a moment. In past shows, we've had something called Fun Facts You Should Know, something from the funny papers when we were kids. Jay, did you know that almost 50% of U.S. apartments were built before 1980?
Yeah, it's a large portion of the U.S. housing stock, and it's old and obsolete, and there's a strong demand for newer quality apartments with modern amenities, and tenants are willing to pay up for quality housing with superior amenities.
And you mentioned declining home ownership, right?
Yes.
And what does that do to the demand for apartments?
You know, it's interesting. Home ownership is at a historic low, and this creates additional demand for apartments from people who would have owned in prior generations.
And then the migration. We've heard about this migration from gateway communities for years and years, but Jay, what did the pandemic do to that migration?
Yeah, you know, I think we have seen this movement for a very long time, but I think that it was accelerated during the pandemic. And people have been moving away from the dense, expensive gateway cities into the Southeast and Texas for decades. And again, the pandemic, I think, accelerated that. Interestingly, the pandemic also had a major impact on housing in general. As you may have seen, construction has been very difficult with mounting supply chain issues. Building materials have risen exponentially. This has caused a slowdown in housing starts. Costs have gone up and existing housing prices have gone through the roof. Here in Richmond, it's not unusual at all for homes to go for prices exceeding their asking price. At the same time, the same thing is true for multifamily. In times of uncertainty, rental housing prospers because of that uncertainty. Will I be relocated? Do I have to make a house purchase commitment? And as demand for rentals has increased, rents have increased also.
And there's a shortage of housing, correct?
Absolutely.
Even though we see cranes, if you go into Scott's Addition today, you'll see four or five cranes. There's still a shortage of affordable housing.
Yeah, there's been a disparity in housing starts since the recession starting back in 2009. Construction came to a grinding halt, and we have never caught up since then. The supply chain issue that I just talked about has only exacerbated it during the last year.
So it's a good time to be an apartment owner?
I think it's a great time to be an apartment owner.
The housing stock is old and crappy. That's a technical term among real estate people. There's a declining home ownership. There's a shortage of housing. What does all that mean for an apartment owner, a landlord?
Well, you know, you come back to the basic fundamentals of economics, of supply and demand. As there's more demand, then prices go up. It's really a very basic premise of economics.
So it is a great time to be a landlord, maybe even a golden age, as Dr. Linneman puts it in his white paper.
I think that's right.
Let's shift gears again to inflation. Multifamily typically has annual leases. Jay, how does a short-term lease factor into the decision to invest in real estate?
You know, with short-term leases, landlords are able to raise rents on a regular basis, typically on an annual basis. This makes multifamily a true and reliable hedge against inflation, since rents can quickly be adjusted to market in the face of inflation that we're in today.
Say that again. This is very important because we have lots of investors who are worried about inflation eating into their earnings and their savings.
Yes, so unlike office, retail, and many other commercial properties where rents are locked up for a very long time. For example, an office lease is not untypical to be a 5 to 7 year lease. Retail may be a 10-year lease. Multifamily owners can adjust rents annually. And during periods of inflation, landlords are able to raise rents because most apartment leases are 1 year compared to those long leases that we just talked about. Multifamily landlords have the ability to raise rents, stay up with or ahead of inflation. And with recent concerns about inflation, this makes multifamily a very reliable hedge because landlords can adjust those rents to cover inflation costs during these times that we find ourselves in, like today.
That'll make a lot of investors very happy and comfortable. Dr. Linneman reviewed the stats, and they show that multifamily investments perform better than any other asset class, and that's in periods of high inflation and periods of low inflation. The numbers speak for themselves. Multifamily is absolutely the best asset class in good and bad times.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. And again, multifamily investments have a diversified tendency. You know, let's say you own 300 apartment units and you have 300 tenants. While all of these leases are going to mature in a year, they are spaced out over the period of a year. So there are relatively few maturities in each month. So as an investor, you get that hedge against inflation to rapidly adjust rents and the time to manage the property rather than having the prospect of a very large vacancy at any given point in time.
And there's another angle. Multifamily has financing that is not really available in the other asset classes. Jay, you've done lots of Fannie Mae loans and the like. Tell us about the financing.
Yeah, so I think you're referring to the GSAs, the government-sponsored agencies. You've got Fannie Mae, you've got Freddie Mac and HUD. And these GSAs are charged by their charter to making loans to provide affordable housing.
That is correct. The financing for multifamily investments is dramatically better than any other asset class. Capital Square sponsors multifamily, medical, industrial assets. And so we know the financing on those other commercial real estate investments. Compared to them, it's not even close. Multifamily has been in the high 2% range. And even today, it's very reasonable.
Yeah, I think today around 3%. It's pretty darn good, isn't it?
That is correct. We have new loans with Fannie Mae around 3%. Can you believe that for a 10-year fixed loan?
That's really great. So as you look at these other asset classes, medical, industrial, how does financing for those sorts of things compare to the multifamily financing?
Not very well. Compared to an approximately 3% interest rate today on multifamily with Fannie Mae, if we're acquiring a quality medical property or a quality industrial property, we're talking about 3.5%, even 4% interest rate.
Man, so you're talking 50 to 100 basis points or 0.5% to 1% higher.
You are correct. A multifamily has a substantial competitive advantage. Another fun fact, there's a shortage of housing in the U.S.
There really is a serious shortage of housing. There are about 328,000 new apartments needed on an annual basis, but only about 240,000 are being built. And that results in an average annual shortfall of about 29%. And again, this is a trend that started to unfold back during the financial crisis of 2009, when construction really came to a virtual halt. But and supply kept on, demand kept up. Supply has never caught up with the demand in those subsequent years. And over the past year, with those supply chain shortages, this disparity was even more exacerbated. So. And then you have the other factor that we discussed, a large portion of our housing stock is old and obsolete. So not only do we have a rental housing shortage, the shortage of what renters are looking for is even greater.
I think people will be surprised that about half of the U.S. housing stock was built before 1980 and is old and obsolete. We have residents with good resources. They can afford to pay good rents, but they want a quality place to live, not a crappy old warehouse conversion.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's funny, another market that I was never really counting on, I just heard about recently. I have a friend who said, gosh, this housing market drove me to sell my house. The housing prices were so great, I sold it. And I said, where are you moving to? They went, well, that's the problem, because there isn't anything to buy. So they're moving into a really nice a multifamily property in the interim. And again, my bet is they stayed there longer than they thought they were going to.
It's a pretty nice life.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's all good news for landlords. Again, where longer occupancy means reduced vacancy and reduced turnover costs for landlords.
And what about the length of stay? Are renters staying longer than previous generations?
They truly are. And I think that not only are they staying longer, they're doing it, again, not out of necessity. They're doing it for lifestyle changes on their own. And I think this is a trend that we see that we're going to see in the future.
And this is good for landlords?
Great for landlords.
Longer occupancy, less vacancy, reduced turnover cost?
Yes, exactly. And a good stable base of people. It makes for the things that we used to think about in a single family neighborhood, where you get to know your neighbors instead of just a transient base on the multifamily side.
Let's talk about Virginia. I'm very proud of this report. Virginia is the number one state for business, according to CNBC. I've talked to many politicians about it, and we're all thrilled. And you're a good one to ask. You're not a politician. You're a businessman. You founded and managed a number of real estate enterprises. Some of them had headquarters in Richmond, Virginia. And so I'm asking you, on behalf of our real estate audience, what makes Virginia a desirable place to invest in housing?
You know, so many great things. Real estate, just in general, the old adage of location, location, location. Richmond is a strategically located community in the Mid-Atlantic. It's a day's drive from half the population in the U.S., and it's a short drive from Washington, D.C. And again, almost an even proximity on the East Coast from a transportation standpoint. Employment, we've got really strong employment. Richmond's the home of 7 Fortune 500 companies. In addition, it's attracted investment in firms like Amazon as a distribution hub. CoStar, who have moved divisions here because of the overall attractiveness of the market and the cost of living. We have a highly educated workforce, several top 10 universities producing an unbelievable talent. Quality of life. The New York Times listed Richmond as one of the top 52 places to go in 2020. And when I say top 52 places, I'm not talking about in Richmond. I mean, I'm not talking about in Virginia. I'm not talking about in the U.S. 52 places in the world to go in 2020. It also has a very reasonable cost of living compared to other markets. Richmond's very affordable and less than the U.S. average. And then you've got Richmond's the capital of the state. And state capitals traditionally don't suffer recessions as hard. So overall, it's a great package.
Oh, that's wonderful. If you would like a copy of Dr. Linneman's white paper, The Golden Age of Multifamily Investing, contact me at lrogers@capitalsquare1031.com or 877-626-1031. Please join me, Lewis Rogers, same time next week when we discuss cutting-edge real estate topics of interest locally and nationally. Invest locally. Invest nationally. Invest with Capital Square on a tax-advantaged basis. Living in the sweet Virginia
breeze. Sweet Virginia breeze. The Real Estate Show, sponsored by Capital Square Realty Advisors, LLC, is broadcast as an information service and includes opinions as to buying, selling, and holding various investments. However, the host, Lewis Rogers, is not licensed to give any financial, tax, or other investment advice or recommendations. Accordingly, any data and information discussed is provided for informational and entertainment purposes only and is not intended to be an offer or solicitation to invest in any particular investment. You should never make an investment decision based solely off the information discussed on this broadcast. If you are seeking investment, tax, or legal advice, you should consult with a registered investment advisor, financial, tax, or legal professional of your choosing. Opinions and views expressed on this broadcast are opinions and views based on research gathered through what we believe to be reputable sources. Although we believe these sources to be accurate and reliable, in no way do we represent or guarantee the accuracy thereof, nor the accuracy of the statements made on this broadcast. Listeners should independently verify all claims on this broadcast and conduct their own due diligence before investing in any securities or investments, including any mentioned on this broadcast. Investing in securities is highly speculative and carries a high degree of risk.